Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
To covet has to do with what we want and what we don't want. It has to do with desires. Are you fulfilled and satisfied with what God has given you? Or do you live with this constant pressure, this constant passion for something else, for something more? It's okay to like things, but it turns to covetousness when you get to that place where you say, I gotta have this. And I hope that you are satisfied in Christ.
On today's PowerPoint, Pastor Graham brings a message about how you can find true satisfaction. Now here's Pastor Graham with his message, The Desire to Acquire.
Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Because we're coming to the 10th commandment today, I want us to back up and look at all the commandments one by one as we read them and then explain the 10th commandment. The first commandment is in verse 3 of chapter 20. You shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment, you shall not make unto me any graven image. Verse 7 is the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fifth commandment, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. And the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And the 10th, and really bottom line commandment. It is as though God gave us this final word to underscore everything else that has been written by the hand of God on the hearts of his people. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. So simply put, you shall not covet. When you come to the 10th commandment, some would view it as almost a throwaway in their minds compared to these other bold and powerful commandments. The 10th commandment may seem insignificant to you, but it is the underscoring of everything that has previously been given. For the commandments given 1 through 9 have to do with actions, but the 10th commandment has to do with attitudes. The first 9 commandments have to do with deeds, but the 10th commandment has to do with desires. You shall not covet. And so the 10th commandment speaks very forcefully and forthrightly to our current economic condition as a nation and really in the global economy, because it deals with the issue of materialism. It deals with the issues of consumerism and excess debt and selfishness and self-centeredness and even greed. It has to do with how we handle our possessions, what we have and even what we don't have. You shall not covet. To covet has to do with what we want and what we don't want. It has to do with desires. Now, with all sin or temptation to sin, remember that temptation is the solicitation or the seduction to take a God-given desire and fulfill it in a God-forbidden way. Got that? To take a God-given desire and fulfill it in a God-forbidden way. That's the essence, really, of all sin. And in the sense of covetousness or desires, there are normal and natural desires that we all have. In fact, desires, and that's what the word covet means. It means to desire. So you can have a good desire. You can covet good things. For example, we ought to covet and desire the presence of God. Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We ought to have a hunger and a thirst for God and the things of God. So to covet the good things. But of course, a prohibition is given here not to covet in terms of our neighbor's possessions, whether it is our neighbor's house or our neighbor's wife, our neighbor's properties. We are not to covet what does not belong to us, what God has chosen not to give to us. So to covet in this sense, as we are commanded in the Word of God, not to covet, speaks of extreme and excessive desire to possess things. It has to do with the inordinate and illegitimate desire to have more and more and more, in that we are never satisfied with what we already have, what God has chosen to give us. And so our greed and our self-centeredness and our desire consumes us, and our possessions control us rather than we controlling our possessions. It is to desire more than I need. It is to desire something that someone else has, and so it is akin to envy and jealousy. So if money and things, possession, becomes our motivation, that's what we live for, we're always going to be disappointed. Because these things, possessions, material things, cannot satisfy the spiritual need and the eternal needs, the ultimate needs of our lives. But there's a problem. This commandment, not to covet, is really the gateway to all the other sins. It is to covet that brings sin of all kinds into the world. Covetousness brought sin into heaven. Say, how so? Lucifer, the created angel of God, responsible for the worship of heaven, one day, according to Isaiah chapter 14 and also Ezekiel chapter 28, determined that he was too beautiful, too bright, too lovely, too gorgeous, that he should be like God, that God somehow was holding out on him. He wanted more. Though he had heaven and God himself, he wanted more. And so the Bible says that Lucifer created a rebellion in heaven. The devil became the devil when he rebelled against God in heaven and said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. And because of his rebellion, because of his pride and his desire to acquire more, he was cast out of heaven, and demonic spirits, angel beings went with him in rebellion against God. And thus we have this eternal conflict between light and darkness and good and evil. And Satan exists, but the original sin, the eternal sin, is really the sin recorded here in the 10th commandment. It is the sin of covetousness, of desiring to acquire more than is rightfully ours. Same thing happened in the Garden of Eden. Here is man, the man and the woman, living in the plush luxury of paradise. And yet Satan tempted them with more. God's holding out on you. God's not giving you the best. And so they took of the fruit. The Bible says that she, Eve, saw the fruit and that it was good to eat. And so she took it. She saw it. She desired it. And then she took it. And thus Adam and Eve brought sin into mankind. And we have lived with this internal sin for all of our lives. It is the desire to acquire, the desire for more, the desire for something that does not belong to us, that God has not chosen to give to us. That's what it means to covet. Now, Jesus added in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 these words, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And Jesus pointed, therefore, at this commandment, the 10th commandment, and said, beware of this. Beware of materialism. Beware of greed. Beware of excessive desires, extravagant desires for what you don't really need. So all of this really leads to one simple question. Are you happy with what you have? Are you fulfilled and satisfied with what God has given you? Or do you live with this constant pressure, this constant passion for something else, for something more? Whether it's another person, or someone's property, or a new possession. You see, covetousness, it's okay to like things, but it turns to covetousness when you get to that place where you say, I gotta have this. Then the desire becomes excessive and compulsive. And people, therefore, because they can't seemingly live without what they think they need, excessive debt piles up. Why do people live beyond their means? Why do people damage themselves and their families with credit card abuse? It's somehow because we think that we can't live without what we want. And so if I don't have enough money for it, I can just charge it and pay it later. And thus, what the country is experiencing in terms of national debt, we are experiencing personally. So before we look at Wall Street and the greed and the consumerism and the covetousness that is there, we need to look on our own streets, don't we? And into our own hearts. Because if we think that we'll be happy by having more good things or greater things or better things, if we think that our identity is in what we possess, what we own, we will always be disappointed.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Desire to Acquire. Pastor Jack Graham wants to send you his eye-opening book, The Promise of Persistent Prayer, that shows you how to open the floodgates of God's blessings in your life. This book is Pastor Graham's gift to thank you for your donation to PowerPoint. Call 1-800-795-4627, 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Pastor Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, if you miss any part of today's broadcast or you'd like to hear it again, you can now hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Now back to today's message about how you can find true satisfaction.
God gave us this prohibition to provide a guideline for life, because this sin, you see, is an invisible sin. It's an invisible sin. Most sins are easy to spot. I mean, you see stealing, you know what it is. I mean, you're the subject of a lie, you see a lie up front. Most sins are outward and visible, but the sin of covetousness is inward and invisible. You can't see it. Only God can see it. And that's why we need to ask the Spirit of God to search our own hearts and to see if there's any wicked way in us and to deal with our desires, this invisible sins. Since it's invisible, we tend not to take it that seriously. No one talks about it much. We don't think about it much. It's also an inside sin. The Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian, in my view, who ever lived. And yet in Romans chapter 7, Paul was struggling with sin in his life. And he talks about his personal struggle with sin. And he points out his real problem in Romans chapter 7:7, 8, and 9. What shall we say then? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. That means that if it were not for the Ten Commandments that God has given us, the laws of God, I would never have known I was a sinner. I would never have known that I've broken God's commandments. I would have never known sin, that I was guilty. And then he said, for I would not have known what it is to covet If the law had not said, you shall not covet, but sin, and specifically this sin for him, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. Now that means, as Paul is examining his own life and the laws of God, as he's struggling with this sin principle in his life, he would later say in this passage of Scripture, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do are the very things I find myself doing. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So he's struggling. This civil war going on in his soul. And as he's thinking about it and talking about it here, he said, I would have never known that I was a coveter were it not for the commandment, the 10th commandment, which says you shall not covet. Because Paul could have said, as a Jew, as an obedient Jew, the Bible says you shall have no other gods before me. Check. Got that one. Make no graven image. Check. No graven images in my life. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Check. I've never done that. Honor your father and your mother. Remember the Sabbath day. I've done these from my youth. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not murder. Check, 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 check. But when it came to the 10th commandment, Paul said it slayed me. Because that's when I realized the lust of my heart, the desires of my life were consuming me. And this commandment in that sense nails every one of us, doesn't it? And we may check off our human righteousness one by one, but in our hearts, God says, we have desired those things that do not belong to us. The desire for what is not ours is forbidden. And that's the very sin that opens the door to all these other sins. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Again, talking about excessive, extreme desires. Into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is as though this craving, there's our word, coveting, craving, that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Jesus told many parables about material things and money and how we are to relate to possessions in our lives. How many of us have talked to people who say, well, you know, I'm never going to go to that church. All they want at church is my money. That's all the church is interested in, is just money. How many people, because of their own greed and their own desire to acquire and to hold on to what they have, allow the sin of covetousness to destroy their soul? Did you know it was the sin of covetousness that put Jesus on the cross? Or helped to put him on the cross? One of his own disciples, the treasurer of the group, Judas. He kept the bag. And for some reason, he became dissatisfied with Jesus. And he decided to make a deal with the authorities to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed Jesus for money and died without Christ forever in hell because of this sin of covetousness. So what's the cure for covetousness? Number one, salvation in Christ. There's nothing in life that brings more contentment and satisfaction and meaning and purpose than knowing Jesus. Jeremiah the prophet said, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, But let him who glories, glories in this, that he understands and knows me. Knowing Jesus, following Jesus, brings a depth of satisfaction and identity in him that the world cannot give. We need a new heart, a new life. Why? Because we've broken all of these commandments. It's been said many times in many ways. A man isn't a liar because he tells lies. He lies because he's a liar. A man isn't a thief because he steals. He's a stealer because in his heart he has lied to God. In his heart he is a liar. This is an inside job, and we need Christ to change our hearts. And you will never be victorious over materialism and greed and selfishness in your life until you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation in Christ will help you to defeat this cancer of covetousness in your life. Secondly, simplicity in Christ. I hear a lot of people today talking about, if I could just simplify my life. My life's too complicated. I got too much stuff going on, too many things, too many irons in the fire, too many pressures, too many places to be. And we've created this life for ourselves that is so very complicated. And much of it has to do with just keeping on this track, this aggressive track of running after our desires. But simplicity in Christ means that our wants and our desires change, that we don't need all these other things to find happiness in life. 1 Timothy 6, contentment with godliness is great gain. Contentment. You say, oh great, that's what I really need, you know, just to be contented, like a, you know, you got a picture of a cow chewing his cud in a field somewhere, just an old, fat, contented cow. No. Contentment means that you are satisfied in a more simple life, a life that is blessed by God. Job said it best in Job 1:21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I return. There are no pockets in shrouds, funeral shrouds. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so to cure covetousness in my life is to live simply in Christ. That I don't have to have all these trappings and things to be happy. That simplicity, the love of God, the love of family, the love of church, the simple pleasures of life. And finally, satisfaction in Christ. Think about what you have in Jesus. You have everything you need and far more than you deserve in Christ. Amen? We have more than we need and far more than any of us deserve. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have a new identity in Christ. We don't have to be scrapping and striving and trying harder to gain the approval and the applause of men, because we have our identity in Christ. We have the forgiveness of sin. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God living in us. You're looking at a satisfied man today. And I hope that you are satisfied in Christ. The psalmist said, Lord, who on earth do I have besides you? You are my portion. Lord, you're everything I need. Just like the old song said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. Do you have Jesus? If you have Jesus, you have everything you need in life.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham in his message, The Desire to Acquire. If you're like most people, you'd have to admit that you struggle to know how to pray and what to pray. Well, Pastor Jack Graham is excited to send you his insightful book, The Promise of Persistent Prayer, to show you what it really takes to make your prayers heard. This book is Pastor Graham's gift to thank you for your donation to PowerPoint. So call today, 1-800-795-4255. 1-800-795-4627. 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Pastor Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, if you miss any part of today's broadcast or you'd like to hear it again, you can now hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Pastor, why is covetousness such a unique sin?
Well, this commandment deals with our attitude, not just our actions. And while the commandments deal with deeds, this one really has to do with desires. And just as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, covetousness can be a cover-up, a cloak, a cover-up for a lot of other sins like selfishness and greed and cheating and adultery. All the other commandments are broken in the heart when we are covetous. Find your satisfaction in the things that God gives you, in a personal, intimate, growing relationship with Jesus. If God chooses to bless you financially, then be a blessing to others. God has given us so much. Everything that we have from God is to be enjoyed and experienced and then given away for His glory that we might honor Him. Don't allow covetousness to be a cloak or a cover-up for the sins of selfishness in your own life. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse your heart and to help you to keep this commandment, you shall not covet. I want to encourage you, as always, to visit us at jackgraham.org. And there you can give us your prayer request. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook. And if this program has encouraged you and blessed you and you want to support PowerPoint, you can give an online donation. Again, it's easy. Just go to jackgraham.org. God bless you. Thank you. I look forward to our next time together.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Pastor Graham wants to send you his book, The Promise of Persistent Prayer, to thank you for your donation to PowerPoint today. So call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, next time, Pastor Graham brings a message about the key to getting your prayers answered. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.